let's get down to business. What can I say about Richard Schindel that I didn't already say about John Gorka?
He shaves.
He's been claimed as one of America's finest songwriters, at least that's what his mom said. His dad was pretty complimentary too, but we wouldn't go that far. Richard, like many artists, you know, many true artists, was worried that commercial success might soil his art form. So, of course, when fame and fortune beckoned, he moved to South America. And after doing a whole series of albums of just beautifully crafted story songs with strong storylines and wonderful songs, and then he did an album of cover tunes, and when people like that, he decided to change his writing style and do an album of impressionistic songs that are like, it's like an oral version of a Monet painting, you know? The longer you look at it, the more you find it. Okay, we're all ready, we're warmed up, we're ready to go?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Schindel.
Thank you.
Thank you. He hangs his balloons, which he sells, and peach balls, and he's quite picturesque. He's quite wonderful to watch when he's walking up the streets of Buenos Aires. So this is for him. He's known down here as El Señor de los Globos, but we call him Balloon Man.
Thank you. get more of this guitar on the stage. I'm going to sing a new song. I wrote it in Florence, Italy a few weeks ago. You might think that being in Florence, I might have written a song about something Florentine. Every song writer needs one, and now I have one. This, and every word of this song, unfortunately, is true. I woke up after about 2 hours of sleep The curtains didn't work very well either, so the sun was coming in. And, you know, you have, like, night thoughts sometimes. You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you wonder whether or not you have enough life insurance. Sometimes I'm there at, like, 5:30 in the morning wondering if I have enough life insurance. And then thinking of all the reasons why I'm a really terrible father. And this episode with Abby is the proof that I am a terrible, terrible, terrible father. And because what happened was is that we bought this little puppy, and she's a bird dog, and we live in an apartment, and I brought the puppy home with my daughter. We were very happy about this, but I hadn't really cleared it with my wife, the whole puppy thing. She was about 80% on board with that, but you want 100. You want 100 when it comes to the puppies and apartments. And so anyway, that wasn't the problem, because she, of course, warmed to the puppy immediately, being incredibly cute, the puppy. And so that went pretty well, and I swore up and down that I was going to take care of the puppy and do all the things I'm supposed to do. And then I went on tour for 3 weeks, and so I it was the only time in history I think anybody almost got divorced over a cute little golden retriever. Anyway, we tried really, really hard. We sent her to this guy out in the country to train her. And every time we did, she came home better. She came home the picture of good behavior and manners. Just a lovely, lovely, well-mannered little doggy. And within a week of being with us in the apartment, she was a raving lunatic again. One more of this on stage, if I may. So it fell to me to tell the children, when Abby was about 3 months old, that she was going to stay there. And that was really bad, and it was a terrible conversation, one of those conversations you never want to have to have. And that was about 3 years ago, and they've gotten over it, pretty much. And now what have I done? I've gone and I've written a song about it. And my children are not here today. They almost came, but I talked them out of it because I knew I was going to sing this song. And I'm not ready to spring it on them yet because they're going to cry. And Abby really is our country. This is not any kind of horrible euphemism. She's very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad my kids weren't here to hear that either. I make a lot of stuff up. This one takes place out of the Cape Cod. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a song I almost abandoned. It was languishing on my desk. My daughter's bird, Mavis, flew into the song and other words of the process. And it deals with a bunch of guys at the beach. Trying to build one of these big sandcastles, you know, one of these elaborate jobs. Right there in the right spot, in the best spot, neither too close nor too far from the ocean. Because, you know, if it's too far, it's no fun, because, you know, the purpose is to do battle with the waves. If you're too close, of course, it's just futile. So there they are trying to do this, and in the middle of it, there's this apparition, this visitation. Beach of New Cumberland, past his waters, the other side of low tide, the sun is high. We're kneeling in the wet sand, dropping up a wall of reach, quick before the next wave rushes in. We roll around the castle, spilling out the water, but hope springs eternal. Your big chance. come to get one. Swamped in the castle, and no one is watching. When it falls, when it falls, we're following the progress of little bolts of orange on a long horizon.
Happy birthday.
heard recently that the great Jimmy Smith has been doing that song with his band Moon House. You know these people?
Yeah, good.
I wrote him a letter and thanked him. He wrote me back. Very nice man. Never met him, but he seems like a very nice man. I saw it on YouTube. It sounds pretty good. And he wrote an extra verse in which our hero, our boy in the song, is put upon a white horse and hung from a rope. The folk process. So when I wrote my first song, which is pretty much this one, I started with that chord. And that's the genesis of this song. This next one here is a really good song. Everybody, you're all enjoying yourselves. Fabulous. Thank you. step behind above the cold Missouri waters. Friday 5, and no one was giving an inch. So they all hit the cadets in a dash for position. Bobby weaving, flashing their high beams, flipping a bird, screen of obscenities, a weathered short board. Thank you. Thank you.